Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
Chris Whittingham in for Hawk here on Hockman and Crowder on 560 WQAM. Legitimately made me nauseous during the break. We'll get to that in a moment.
Gotta tighten up.
Here until 6 p.m. I'll actually be on Thanksgiving Day from 10 to 2, I should say, in for the Big O. And then I think I'll be on Friday night as well following the Canes game, which allows us to seamlessly transition to Matt Porter, who is our guest right now on 560 WQAM. Again, the coverage of Hurricanes and Pittsburgh Panthers comes to you live from 8 a.m. on Friday morning ahead of their noon kickoff against Pitt to try and secure an 11-0 regular season. And Matt Porter joining us right now on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Did you ever think that I would be saying the phrase, a Friday night game against Pittsburgh will lead to an undefeated 11-0 record?
You're going to let me put some shine on my name here, because if anybody's been following me, they may remember I predicted Miami to go 11-1 this year.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he did.
So was the Arkansas State game and that game got canceled, so you're good now?
That's exactly what happened. Yeah. There was the Arkansas State game. I had them losing in that just incredible environment.
The cauldron of Murfreesboro?
Yeah. I don't like to punch downward, but I mean, I've tweaked some of those fans a few times.
They're the worst.
They completed.
Yeah, they're the absolute worst. Trying to argue, oh, you're scared of us. Can you imagine like them trying to argue that now at 10-0? They're scared of Arkansas State, please.
Yeah,
I mean, seriously.
Take your non-L and just go away.
Right.
When you were talking about being nauseous, by the way, not to double back, too deeply here, but I think about Crowder and the time that you told me, Crowder, that you ate shrimp that was sitting in your car. I think it was like shrimp scampi or something like that.
Yeah, warming it up.
Is that going to be on the Thanksgiving? Is that going to be on the Thanksgiving menu or no?
Well, actually, now that you asked, I pick up. He's already laughing. I'll go pick up rice because my father-in-law is making one of those Cuban.
The cattuccine.
Whatever they call it, right? So I got to get the rice and beans. I'm going to buy them from a store because I'm not going to make rice and beans, but I'll leave them in the car and let the sun warm them up in the morning. I think that's a great idea.
It is the most nonsensical thing
I've ever heard.
An oven is at 170. A car gets to close to 200. Leaving a
car
plate of food
in November and things like... Yeah, I mean, it's 82 degrees outside. Like, what are you talking about against a 170?
I got dark tint.
Either way, reheated car beans sounds better than my Thanksgiving. We're going to be in Pittsburgh in a hotel, a nice hotel, but, you know, where they serve a table side. They bring out a turkey for you, and they carve it table side, and I'm trying to be excited about it because I don't want it to be sad.
Yeah, you, Christy, and Susan have made that trip a few times now, right?
It's a yearly tradition.
A yearly tradition.
A biannual tradition.
That is correct.
Yeah,
why of all places at Pittsburgh every year?
I don't know.
On the Friday after Thanksgiving, particularly because it's Friday. If it's Saturday, you can just fly out Friday and spend Thanksgiving with your family. Friday at noon, only for television. All right,
you got the Iron Bowl. You got Florida State. You got all these great. You got the game, Michigan, Ohio State.
Yeah.
And then you got Miami Pitt. Okay.
Yep. And then also that's the undercard actually for USF UCF.
Oh, I can't wait for that one.
That's gonna be fun. No, seriously, that's one loss between the two teams. I'm excited about that game.
Oh, it's going
to
be fun.
All right, so let's go ahead and get to the Hurricanes now. So you had expectations for this team. Was it based on you thinking that this defense would be this?
Yeah, I mean, the defense was a big part of it. You know, the schedule was part of it, too. I looked and I said, okay, well, they're going to lose in Tallahassee because, you know, let's be real, man. I mean, nobody expected Florida State to be this bad. Even if you're, you know, the most ardent Florida State hater, you really expected them to be at least competitive. So, you know, they win that game and that gives them a ton of confidence. But yeah, I mean, looking before the season, I mean, I said, okay, they got Notre Dame, which doesn't, you know, matter in the conference anyway, and you got Virginia Tech at home. Notre Dame's coming off 4-8 years, figured they'd be better, thought Virginia Tech would be good, thought Pitt would be pretty good. Well, you know, all your tough games are at home. You know, they had UNC and Duke on the road. So I just figured that, you know, the defense would be great, and the coaching staff deserves all of the trust, you know, at this point. You know, I just figured that they would, it's a really good staff, they'd figure things out, they'd find ways to put these guys, you know, in the right spots. And, you know, they have. And I was also expecting average or better quarterback play. I think Malik Rozier's been about what I expected. I obviously, if you had told me before the season, yeah, before we make that 11-1 pick, Mark Walton's going to go down against Florida State, and Amon Richards is going to have like four different injuries all year, and he's not going to be a huge factor. He's going to have like two touchdown catches and 300 something yards. Probably would have changed my pick, but I don't know. Really, it's weird because this season's been so weird. It's been such a roller coaster, and they've won so many tight games that it doesn't. You know, I look back and I just couldn't imagine that it would have happened this way. But here we are.
And Matt, your article that we read, how Malik Rozier, the best Miami Hurricanes running quarterback ever, has made the Canes contenders. Is he really? Is he the best running quarterback the Canes have ever had? Because
what
people call
choices?
It QB. The boy Jacory Harris Jacory with the Harris? Northwestern Super Northwestern 12 or
he,
whatever.
I think he was like, he wasn't really a runner. He was a pocket passer.
But Malik Rozier, the best of all time. I'm asking, man. I haven't been a Canes fan. He's the best of all time?
Yeah. Well, why not? Because you look at the way that he gets positive yardage. You look at the numbers, for one thing. I mean, if he has, like, a breakout game this week, or, you know, if he's able to get, you know, 80-something yards against Clemson, pick up, like, 60, he'll be right up there for the most yardage. So the stats-wise, I mean, it's hard to argue that. He's right there. Even going back to, like, in the 50s and 60s when, like, the forward pass was, like, a risky play for some teams in Miami. Miami was, you know, had guys that were just mostly runners back then. I mean, I just look at one of the most productive. He's playing in just a different offense now. I mean, Mark Richt wants the quarterback to run if it's there, and Miami's had pro-style passers for 40, 50 years. You know, he's, I don't know if anybody like really realizes this, but he could set the Hurricanes' all-time touchdown records, three away. You know, most touchdowns responsible for, and this is, you know, a guy who, before the year, everyone's like, "Yeah, he's going to be okay. I guess he won't lose games, but he probably won't win them." Well, he's been pretty darn good. He's, you know, he's made his share of mistakes, and, you know, I just think as a runner, you know, I mean, and he shakes off those mistakes. I just think as a runner, you know, he's done more and been more productive, and you know, been able to pick up the first downs and or, you know, get them in second and third and shorts when, you know, they just really haven't had that ever. So I've been really impressed with that element of his game.
Is Miami's most reliable play Malik Rozier running the football?
In spurts, yeah. I think their most reliable play is like a miracle pick six when they need it. that seems to be there for them. But yeah, I mean, you know, they have such great talent, you know, at wideout. I mean, they really do. I mean, you know, even guys like Jeff Thomas who are just kind of figuring out, you know, what they can do on a college field. I mean, they're really good. But yeah, I mean, as far as sustaining drives, you know, keeping drives going, getting him into, like I said, second and, you know, third shorts, you know, I take Malik on the quarterback sneak. I mean, Notre Dame certainly didn't seem to be ready for it. He burned them, you know, four or five times, you know, in a span of like 10 plays. So pretty impressive.
And Matt, where does he rank all time? Because you said it in your article and you made it clear, the best running quarterback. But I won't make you do all of them because I know Dorsey, Geno, Bernie Kosar, Steve Walsh, Testaverde, Jim Kelly, Craig Erickson, Jim Myra, whatever the hell his name is. Those
George
guys.
Myra, yeah.
Okay, yeah, George Myra. So I know all those guys. Yeah. I saw all the list. What about like a Jacory Harris, a Brock Berlin, or a Stephen Morris? Has Malik Rozier already, has he surpassed them?
We're gonna get into a discussion about like quarterback wins and how much that matters. I don't know. I really don't know where he ranks at this point. I mean, you can't put him over Dorsey. I mean, because look at Dorsey's record, you know, and I mean just the plays that he made and the games that he was able to win. Obviously, not by himself, but you know, as a part of those great teams. I don't know. I think it's something that we got to see play out. I mean, if Miami, you know, goes all the way. I mean, then he's got to be considered one of the greatest by default, right? I mean,
yeah.
the quarterback of a championship team, I mean, has to be one of the greatest of all time. And, you know, if he wins, you know, number six for Miami, but yeah, I don't know. I think the jury's still out. And, you know, if he throws three picks and they lose at Pitt, then obviously, you know, this is going to sound pretty foolish. But, you know, if he goes out there and is the deciding factor in a win over Clemson, then we're having a different conversation. So let's see how it plays out.
What, if anything, should UM fans be afraid of about Pitt?
Just kind of a team that doesn't really care at this point, you know, and throw, you know, trick plays and all the kind of weirdness that can go on. I think Miami should be more concerned about themselves, really. You know, that, like, just starting slow and, you know, Rick was asked a lot about that today. You know, like, what can you guys do and, you know, to get things started? And he's, I don't want to say he's defensive, but he's kind of making the point that, you know, hey, the other teams are good too, and, you know, they're going to be fired up to play us. You know, it's their Super Bowl, essentially. That's kind of what you got to worry about. You know, Miami going into a place at Heinz Field where, you know, there's going to be a lot of yellow seats available and, you know, a noon game after Thanksgiving. And I think it should be easy to get motivated just because there have not been a lot of teams in Miami history or really any program's history that have gone undefeated in the regular season. I think this would be number six, or there have been six already. This might be number seven. I'd have to double check that. I wrote it earlier this week, but, you know, that's elite company, obviously. And, you know, with everything on the line right now, with the playoff spot, I mean, you don't want to leave anything in anyone else's hands but your own. So should not be that tough to get motivated, but I don't know. Maybe they get there and it's cold and, you know, there's no atmosphere and they're having trouble getting fired up. I don't know. I don't see it, but we'll see. Weird things can happen.
Hey, Matt, Manny Diaz, they adjusted at halftime, obviously, in that UVA game. But with Kurt Benkert, which I hate people that names match like that. It gets on my nerves, Matt. But with him having all that success in the first half, does anything in the secondary, you know, worry you with seeing what Kurt Benkert did do in the first half?
Yeah, that was a little troubling. You know, there were missed tackles at the linebacker spots. You know, I don't think, you know, Zach McLeod had a really good game. Malik Young had a really good game at corner. You know, I didn't think you know, and those are guys that have been playing pretty well at times, and so that was a little troubling. Yeah, it was a weird first half, and it's kind of like what we're talking about. Like, it seemed, you know, anybody who kind of casually, you know, covers the sport from a national level would look at that and say, "Oh, it's Miami had a hangover." Sure, that was very simple. They had a hangover after those primetime you know, atmospheres, and I'm not sure if it's that simple. Maybe it is. Hopefully for Miami it is, you know, because that would, you know, sort itself out once the games get more important here. But I don't know if there was anything schematically. You know, guys were, I mean, they did adjust. I mean, they got a lot more pressure on Benkert in the second half, and that obviously, you know, allowed you know, guys like Jaquan Johnson to make plays with the pick six, you know, that tied the score at 28. And you know, then Benkert was I don't know if he was a mess after that. He still made plays, but certainly they were affecting him and got him on the run. But not a tough kid. I mean, they certainly a very impressive effort from Virginia.
There was one play where Quarterman absolutely demolished him, and they still ended up getting a first down out of it. But that's like the thing that if I was
he
to give
him coming too
he, right
he
right
at
right
the whole entire way, and he's like, all right, wait, oh, this is gonna hurt. All right, throw.
Right, I'll just take this punishment so we can get 11 yards. I mean.
Impressive.
And it's actually one of the defining characteristics of Miami opponents is that all their quarterbacks have had the hell beaten out of them, and they all seem to show the toughness to carry on. But if there's like a thing that I feel most confident about UM replicating in games against big games, that they just beat the crap out of opposing quarterbacks.
Yeah, there's like an attrition factor with them,
right,
too. I mean, the thing what Benkert was really doing is, I mean, he was getting out of the pocket, keeping his eyes downfield. Like, he was not rattled at all. You know, he was like Malik Rozier with like a super – he's like with more accuracy, basically. Like,
and there were rolling protections for him too.
What's that?
There were rolling protections for him too. They constantly had him moving out of the pocket.
Yeah, so he had time. He's buying himself a little more time. He did have time anyway, but, you know, he's just kind of waiting for things to develop and then firing strikes. So, yeah, I wrote a couple times, it was the game of his life. I'm not sure if it's giving him, you know, enough credit. He's had other games too, but I mean, it certainly felt like that at the time when he was 18 of 19. For 288 and four touchdowns against this Miami defense, and the only incompletion was a throwaway where Chad Thomas chased him off to the sideline. So that was I don't know if we've seen a quarterback performance like that against Miami, and it you know, this year, certainly. And that includes Toledo quarterback, who's pretty good.
Right, exactly. So when you – we're joined by Matt Porter of the Palm Beach Post talking some Canes here on 560 WQAM. The coverage of Hurricanes and Pitt will be live from 8 a.m. on Friday morning. The call comes courtesy of Joe Sigaki and Don Bailey Jr. at noon. So when you look at this roster, I don't mean to sort of be a downer here because we're in the midst of one of the most fun UM periods in a decade and a half, but when you look at the roster – and you look at players that could obviously what I noticed on senior day, they lose on the edges with Trent Harris and Chad Thomas graduating. But in terms of players that could be eligible for the pros, who do you think are some guys that Miami might lose because of that?
Yeah, I mean, I would look right off the bat at Walton. Obviously, I just don't know what reason he would have to come back. You know, he's just proven it already, and obviously with the family situation and the the concern. For his health. I mean, coming back, I just don't know what else he would prove. And I think, he'll test well and, he'll do just fine. So I would expect to lose him. Miami should be okay there. They have, five-star running back coming in and another four-star. They even have a fullback coming in. So, plus Travis Homer coming back and E.J. Dallas in the mix there, I'd expect the running game to be just fine. Defensive tackle is a little bit of a worry with Norton and McIntosh. I'm not really sure at this point if they're going to lose both of them, one of them, none of them. They don't right now. They have one defensive tackle committed. So they're pretty high on him as a prospect. But, and they have, some young guys there. They're not super deep. They will get Gerald Willis back from his season-long sabbatical. All signs point to that, being a positive for them. But certainly, McIntosh really coming on. He's playing more than any other Miami defensive lineman. And, it's kind of impressive because, defensive tackles really aren't supposed to play that much, pretty much the entire game. That's what he's doing. So he's been impressive. Norton, he could maybe lose him as well. And I'm not sure about Daquan Johnson. I'm not really sure what the point of him coming out early would be. I'm not sure that he's, a guy that, can't play another year here and, really be a senior leader or something. I don't know if he gets more money coming out this year, than he would next year. I think he could probably even improve his standing if he stays. But those are kind of the guys I'd look at. Can't really think of anybody else that would really even be able to come out as far as guys. There's a lot of freshmen and sophomores, and just obviously the true seniors that we've talked about.
By the way, as we were talking, Barry Jackson, the Miami Herald, just tweeted, Malik Rozier couldn't finish his meal at the Big Cheese last night because people mobbed him for pictures. # effects of winning. So the Hurricanes becoming famous in the city.
Yeah, Barry's I always wonder if Barry's going to tweet out something before I write a story about it. But yeah, no, Malik was telling us about that today where he's like he couldn't even eat. He said he had a friend at the Big Cheese, which, if anybody has gone to Miami or know the area, that's the kind of like just right down the street. That's, the Miami staple, UM staple. He couldn't, he was like mobbed the entire time. He like really couldn't even eat. But it's, we were asking other players, has that happened to you? And they're like, oh, not really. My face is all over ESPN, like Malik. And, kind of interesting comments from today from Mark Richt too. He was asked, is it kind of just like a grind for you at this point? And he was kind of revealing and saying that, he doesn't get a lot of sleep and he kind of needs to take more of a break. So I think he's going to be, when this is all done, the way they've been going, with no bye week after the hurricane, I think he's going to be ready for a long nap.
Right. December the 3rd, I feel like a nice night's sleep is coming for Mark Richt. But Obviously, the goal of this UM season is just get me to the December 2nd game, ACC championship against Clemson, Undefeated, so that can have all the stakes of a playoff quarterfinal, basically, is what it'll end up being for Miami. And then if they go undefeated in the game, if they lose, other results can happen where you could even make the argument where a one-loss Miami team should be in. So that'll be huge fun, and hopefully we at least get to that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. And gosh, what a matchup against Clemson. I mean, you think about 58-0. you think about
seriously, the narrative, yeah.
The narrative is super strong. But I mean, obviously, the defending national champions and Miami's first trip to Charlotte with a potentially a playoff spot in line could not be better. Cannot wait for that one. And then who knows? I mean, it's pretty crazy. I think before the season, a lot. If I told Hurricanes fans, you know, the three possible, you know, destinations you'd be playing in are at worst the Orange Bowl, and at best a playoff semifinal in Pasadena or New Orleans. And that's pretty darn good. I would take that for sure.
Especially that Rose Bowl. When just the idea of that sweeping sky cam shot where they come from out of stadium over the roof of the Rose Bowl and you see the sun setting. I mean, for UM to be in the middle of that would just be absolutely insane.
But that's a lot of pressure. Oh, Malik Rozier can't even eat a sandwich with people around him. So don't tell him about that camera. Goodness gracious.
Man. All right. Matt Porter on Twitter, at Matty Ports. The coverage is at palmbeachpost.com. Appreciate the time.
Yes, sir.
That is Matt Porter. We appreciate him for joining us. So I want to talk some more Canes. Sorry, Fuller, I forgot to hit the hang-up button. By the way, is it 3-0 now for Liverpool?
3-0 for Liverpool.
3-0 for Liverpool at Sevilla. Is that a group clinching victory?
That is a group clinching victory if they hold on.
Wow, fantastic. My goodness. Channing, you're all over that too, I imagine?
I'm not worried about the man group y'all are a part of.
Yeah, 4:45, by the way. You're going to want to stay tuned. Champions League roundup coming up here.
Oh, this is amazing.
Crowder's English accent. This is all awesome. It is. That's all it is. We're back.
Champions League.
We're back on QAM.
This podcast is presented by David Lowe & Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.